You guys can be seated. Hey, if I haven't met you before, welcome to MVC. How are we doing today?
Good.
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to give you a reprieve from my normal, like, that wasn't good enough. I want to hear more. I'm feeling a little under with the weather today, so I apologize in advance. But, you know, Scotty kind of stole some of my opening, okay? And that just shows, like, you got to have those conversations because, right, one of the things that's on our minds is who's going to win the Super Bowl today. And I know who he thinks is going to win or who he wants to win. That's right. Show that jacket off. It is amazing. But Scotty talked about the Niners and he talked about the Chiefs, but he left off a couple other contenders, okay? Because who has Taylor Swift winning the whole thing? Right? I knew we would have some fans. Who's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just want some wings. I want some food. I'm going to enjoy some fellowship. That's a lot of us, right? So whatever it is, I think we're going to have a lot of fun. And maybe you're not into football. Maybe you're like me. You're more into college football, and you like long-suffering. So you've been an Oregon fan for 20 years, and they just keep having promise, but they just keep choking. There's lots of stuff to watch these days, isn't there? What are a couple things that you guys are binging these days? Go ahead, shout it out. They're like, I'm embarrassed to say. Anybody? I couldn't understand that.
Friends.
Yellowstone. Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Community. Okay, we got some, right? A show a couple years ago that I love. And I love watching this show. And I love watching this show in exactly the environment that the show is titled after. Alone. Anybody watched Alone? I love the show Alone. And if you haven't heard about it, it is equal parts insane and inspiring. Because unlike Survivor or some of these other reality shows that they act like they're all alone, these people are actually all alone. They start with 10 people. They take them out to the remote wilderness of some horrible place with snow and rain and all kinds of awful situations. They teach them how to use the camera, and then they say, see ya. Like, they just leave. And these people are absolutely, entirely alone. You get to take 10 pre-selected items out to the wilderness with you, and whoever makes it the longest wins. Sounds easy, right? Wrong. It is so hard. Excuse me. It is intense. Even if you've seen it, you know how intense it is, right? I remember this one guy. I was like, this guy's going to win it all. I mean, he is like a survival of survivalists. He has all this experience. He's an incredible hunter. He knows the woods. He knows plants, all these kind of things. And on the first day, he takes his axe out and swings at something and misses and nails himself in the leg. And immediately, they had to remove him. It's a tough show, but more than any of those things, more than being hungry, more than some of the things that we might think might make you tap out, people tap out because they're all alone. They're alone. They don't know how to not be around community. Some people, some tough guys that I'm like, oh man, this guy's going to last at least 3 or 4 weeks, tap out the first day because they're like, I miss my family. I miss my community, the people that I care about. And for many of us, this is the scariest frontier, right? Going to college and being all alone. Moving to a new place and worrying that we'll never make any friends and that we'll be all alone. After separation, the feeling after the business ends or the bankruptcy hits and we're like, I'm all alone. Or maybe you were dealing with some things and the way that you've dealt with it is to isolate yourself further and further and further until you say, I am totally alone. So today we're talking about a mental issue that most of us deny is an issue for anyone, let alone ourselves, and that's loneliness, right? It's not just an empty house, because you can have a full home and feel completely alone. We are the most connected people, more than ever in any time in history, because we have the ability to FaceTime, we have the ability to Zoom, we have social media, we have all kinds of incredible things right in our pockets, yet many times we feel completely alone. Some of you even carry your phones into the restroom and you spend way longer than you need to on your phones. Don't deny it, I know. Here's the clinical definition for some of us. Loneliness is the feeling of being alone, regardless of the amount of social contact we have. Because within us, we have this hole and we're just struggling because it's like, I'm interacting with this person, but I don't feel a connection. Or I have these relationships, yet they don't know this part of my life and I feel alone. The problem is when you deny loneliness long enough, it snowballs and becomes more and more devastating. In fact, since COVID, 76% of people have been wrestling with loneliness because we isolated ourselves in ways that we never had before and were never meant to, and we've just struggled because even though we're done with that and we're moving forward, there's parts of us that we've trained to just be alone. National and international health experts now describe loneliness as a public health crisis because of its negative impact on our mental and physical health. Here's why this is such a big deal. The need for belonging is the most fundamental human need beyond food and shelter. Do you know that? Beyond food and shelter, loneliness is the thing that will tap you out. There are all sorts of interesting new brain scans and MRIs that shows that loneliness actually hurts physically. In fact, it's been described as akin to stepping on a Lego in the middle of the night. Anybody ever been there before? You're walking through and you just step on it. You're like, oh man, that hurts so bad. When we're alone, there is a hurt, a physical hurt that we experience because your brain fires off and scans those feelings. So, if this statement is true, the need for belonging is the most fundamental human need beyond food and shelter, how are you doing right now? How are you doing? Are you feeling alone? Do you feel like you have community around you? Or maybe you're one of those people that's like, I'm around tons of people, but if I were to be honest and open up and share how I'm actually doing, I feel pretty alone. Most of us have wrestled with it in some way or another. Most of us know this inherently. It's why you want a best friend. It's why you long for a significant other. It's why your greatest memories are when you are with other people doing something. But for some of us, it highlights something deeper. We're not just lonely because of something COVID or the things that stick around with us. For some of us, like I said earlier, we're lonely all the time. We're lonely with others, lonely at work, lonely alone. February 14th is around the corner, and you're like, oh man, another year of being completely alone. Here's what I love about the Bible. It's real. Guys, can I tell you, it is real. The Bible is so real and has so much great information for wherever you are, and we've been lied to as a society that says the Bible and humanity now can't reconcile. There is so much in the Proverbs and the Psalms and the Old Testament and New Testament that has so much to say about the things that we deal with in life. And I bring up the Psalms and Proverbs because a lot of the Psalms are just a guy named David, who was a king who had this incredible power, but that also went through a lot to get there, that he had to trust in the Lord. And over, he deals with really human emotions. In fact, if you're exploring Christianity, if you're here and you're saying, I'm not sure what I think about this Jesus thing or God, I would encourage you, man, read the Psalms. Read the Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. Read the Proverb of the day, right? On the 14th, read the 14th. On the 15th, read the 15th Proverb. Read the Psalms, and we're going to be in Psalms today. We're going to be in Psalm 25 for most of our time. And David struggled as well. And he had a lot of people around him. In fact, in Psalm 25, starting in verse 16, it says this. He says, turn to me, God, and have mercy, for I am alone and I am in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Anybody ever been there? God, I'm struggling. I feel all alone. My problems are going from bad to worse. And this is kind of what I'm talking about. If you think that the Bible is not relatable, you just haven't looked into it enough. Because this is something I think all of us can identify with at some point in our life. David is in a bad place and he needs help. So he cries out to God in his loneliness. And you know that there are some common struggles when trouble strikes. And David's dealing with them. Psychologists have come to describe it as fighting off the three P's. When trouble strikes, we face battles, disappointment, loneliness. We descend into these three P's, and we're going to talk about them today. The first one is personal. It's personal. Maybe you've been here. I'm the only one going through this. It's just me, and you just feel like this lone person on an island, and all of these eyes are watching, but you're the only one that has ever been through something like that before. It's pervasive. I kind of hit on this, right? Everybody's watching. Everybody's thinking about me. Everybody's looking for my next decision or my next step to see if I make a mistake or if I fall. And finally, permanent. It'll never change. There's no way I can ever get out of this hole that I've found myself in. I'm here forever. It's permanent and it will never change. We all have different ways to combat this. We give in. It ends in anxiety, depression, emptiness, or we double down on ourselves, right? I don't need anyone. I'm going to fight. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I still am not completely sure everything that that means, but like, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to make it happen. Anybody know someone like that? Anybody, someone like that? I'm going to be honest, there's times in my life that I'm like, I can work my way out of this. If I just work hard enough, if I just, you know, deny other things enough, if I just fight hard enough, I can get out of this myself. Then we get needy. We seek other people to meet our loneliness needs. And many times that's where we start making mistakes. But God offers a better solution. He has the one answer, the one solution, and it works for all of the gaps that we find in our lives. It's found in the beginning of the psalm that we started reading just a second ago. Maybe it needs to be the start of your day, the start of your drive to work, or the start of your work day. We find the answer in the psalm that we started reading. David says in Psalm 25, verse 1 through 2, he says, "In you, Lord my God, I put my trust." He says, God, I trust you in my life, you alone, in you will I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame. In other words, everything I do, God, I'm leaning and trusting in you to provide. I know that you have the keys to life, to fullness. Also, God, don't let my enemies triumph over me. Isn't that an honest prayer? Isn't that an honest prayer? God, I'm struggling. I trust in you, but don't let my enemies triumph over me. Man, I feel it from every side. Everybody wants me to fail. Those three P's that we talked about earlier. I just want to pause for a second. Where do we put our trust? Do we put our trust in God? Do we put our trust in others? Do we put our trust in ourselves? He continues in verse 3, says, "No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come upon those who are treacherous without cause." What is the promise of those who trust in God? We won't be put to shame. Because see, listen, here's the thing that you have to maybe unpack just a little bit. When it says no one who hopes in you will be put to shame, it's not just like, hey, I just kind of hope this happens. I'm just going to throw this thing and just hope that it hits a bullseye. I'm just going to hope that, you know, I'm going like diamond hands and we're just cryptocurrency all the way and I'm hoping it's going to work out. No, to hope means I set my direction in God. I trust in Him. I follow His ways. That's why we talk about reading the Bible around here. Excuse me. We read God's Word because we follow in His ways. To hope means to run and to know that we trust in God, and we begin to say no to ungodliness and no to worldly passions. And we begin to say yes to the things of God, and it transitions us from doing things that maybe are outside of God's will to hoping and trusting in God's ways. And it says no one who does that will be put to shame. He continues in verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. That's what we just talked about. Show me your ways. Teach me your path. God, I want to follow in your footsteps. I've been trying it out here. And listen, it's not about God punishing people. It's not about God waiting for us to get off the path so He can strike us down with lightning. He's saying, He's crying out. In fact, if you read through the Old Testament, you get this huge picture of God's love for us. And He's saying, don't do it. I'm going to tell you there's consequences if you step out. And I don't want that for you. I want wholeness. I want life. I want fulfillment. I want amazing things for you. And when you step off the path of what I have for you, it's not me punishing you. It's your choices. So show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior. For you are God, our Savior. And our hope is in you all day long. Where does David go back to? Goes back to God. Show me. Teach me. Why? To be taught in the ways of God. To follow in the footsteps of Jesus. I jump ahead a little bit to verse 15 in Psalm 25. And he says, my eyes are ever on the Lord. For only He will release my feet from the snare. It's only in Him that my feet will be released from that snare. Guys, this is a beautiful promise, and I think another one of those that I just want to unpack a little bit, because here's what it doesn't say, right? It doesn't say, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only He will keep me from ever stepping in a snare or stepping off the edge of something and finding myself in a hole. He doesn't say that, does he? He says, for only He will release my feet from the snare. God doesn't promise us that our life will just be completely easy, no struggle or no worry when we turn to Him. He says, in this life you will face trouble. You will endure hardships. When we look at stories like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they say before they were thrown into the fiery furnace? The Lord is able to save us. But even if He doesn't, we won't turn our backs on God. Because He knows that God will rescue His feet from the snare in following His ways. That's what we're called to do. In this life you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Our hope comes from the Lord, our one true source of healing. For all of these diverse pains, He does not address His battles with a prayer for better circumstances. He says, God, release my foot from the snare. Walk with me. And we do have that promise and our hope in Christ. He casts His concerns, His cares, His cause for alarm on God. And He says, I trust you. I hope in you. I follow your ways. In fact, we don't achieve internal calm by following external chaos. Anybody ever found that? Everybody ever look for that? I know if I just have a new car or a new house or a new thing or that thing that everybody else wants and I have a way to get it, it'll provide me happiness, and we find emptiness. No. We find internal calm by looking to God. David recounts this in Psalm 147. He says, praise the Lord. How good to sing praises to our God. How delightful and fitting. The Lord is rebuilding Jerusalem and bringing the exiles back to Israel. In other words, He's rebuilding His kingdom and He's calling people to Himself. And this is done by and through Jesus, the Jesus who bridges the gap from our sin and God. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He counts the stars and calls them by name. How great is our Lord? You want to be inspired? Read Psalm 8 this week. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let those words soak in. You are incredible, God. You created this universe. You created us with all the intricacies of this world. You created us. You made us a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned us with honor and praise. When I look at the stars, the heavens which you made, all the animals that you set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him? When we put ourselves in our true place with God, who are we, God, that you're mindful of him? The Son of God, that you care for him? Yet you love us. You crown us with glory and honor. I'm getting off subject a little bit. But it is incredible when we read Psalm 8 and we hear about God's love for his people. He counts the stars and calls them by name. How great is our Lord. His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. The Lord supports the humble, but he brings the wicked down to the dust. Sing out your thanks to the Lord. Sing praises to our God with a harp. He covers the heavens with clouds. He provides rain for the earth. Okay, we've had a lot of rain. He provides. I lived in Oregon for 10 years. I grew up in Texas. And let me tell you, every time it starts to rain, I'm like, okay, God, just enough. Just enough. Because just as much as we need the rain, we need the sun. The light of the world that shines upon us and shines on all humanity. He covers the heavens with clouds, provides rain for the earth, and makes the grass grow in mountain pastures. He gives food to the wild animals and feeds the young ravens when they cry. He takes no pleasure in the strength of a horse or in human might. Remember, I can do it on my own. He takes no pleasure in that. No, the Lord's delight is in those who fear him. Don't get scared of the word scared. Some people look at that, well, I don't want to fear God. Why should I fear God? That's not what the kind of relationship I want, and so then we walk away from faith. But fearing God is simply understanding that he created everything. And that we are just this tiny, minuscule piece of that. This tiny, tiny little piece of that. And so I honor him. I fear him. I entrust him with my life. It's not fear as we often know fear to be. But it's in honoring God. Those who put their hope in his unfailing love. To whom does God draw near? To the brokenhearted, to the humble. Right? He says this. To whom is the Lord most strongly, irresistibly pulled? To the outcast, those rejected by the world, the losers, those of apparent insignificant by the world's standards. He says, watch and see what I do of a group of ordinary men. The 12 disciples, they flunked out. They didn't make the grade. Yet, through Christ, they changed the world. And all throughout history, God's been using the things that are shameful and making them shame those who would seem to be wise. I was hanging out at a conference this past week. I'm learning all kinds of incredible things, and we're hanging out afterwards, and there's a group of people that happen to be where we were at the exact same time who are atheists. And their whole purpose and their whole reason for meeting was to disprove Christianity. And so we found ourselves interacting with these people several times. And one night, I'm by myself, and I'm hanging out and just kind of unpacking the day. And I meet this guy named Eric. And we begin talking. And he's like, what do you do? I love that question, by the way. Not only do I normally love that question because it tends to end conversations, but how much more with a guy who is an atheist, whose sole purpose is to disprove Christianity? I said, I'm a pastor. He's like, oh, I'm an atheist. you believe is garbage. Here's what's amazing. There's a guy that overheard us. That, like, just huge stacked guy. And we'd kind of been talking earlier a little bit. He is dressed to the nines. He's got fancy watches that are more than, like, my car costs. And I mean, he's incredibly wealthy, incredibly successful. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly where he stands with God. And he speaks up and he says, "You're an atheist? How do you not believe in God?" And I was like, this is going to get interesting. And I'm like preparing in my head. I'm like, okay, what things am I going to have to say? What things am I going to have to be ready for? Because I'd heard about these guys. They had these lists of questions to bring up to Christians to stump them. And this guy just begins going off. He's like, "You will never tell me that God isn't real. If you know what God has rescued me from, if you knew what God had saved me from, there's no way that you could ever deny Christ, and I will never deny Christ." And he is just like testifying to this guy. And I'm just sitting back laughing because the pastor doesn't have to say anything. And I'm thinking this entire time, this is the power of the gospel. He uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And I'm not saying this guy was foolish, but this guy, by his own admission, had some struggles. One second he'd be talking about the power of God. The other second he'd be dropping words that I'm not going to use in this room today. But here's the cool thing. Not only did he testify that as atheist, but also he began convicting his own heart. He's like, "Oh, I need to watch how I talk. I need to lean in." Like, and it was so powerful and it was so incredible, and I didn't have to do a thing. Because it's the power of God. The Lord delights in those who fear him. And this guy honored and respected God. Yeah, he had some rough edges, don't we all? He said, "I'll never deny God. My hope is in his unfailing love." And the atheist kindly thanked us and walked out of the room. And we just began to celebrate who God was. See, he heals the brokenhearted. Our prayer, I was praying for Eric the entire time. "God, I know you might not right now, but just in the future, God, would you reveal yourself to Eric?" In fact, I'm just going to stop right now and ask us, will you just join me in prayer? God, I just ask you right now that you would come into Eric's life and all the people that were there that day, God, for an opportunity to grow in their hatred of you. God, I pray that you would transform it into knowing your holiness and your goodness and your love for each and every one of us. God, would you radically transform their lives through the foolish things of the world like you use, like me, like this music producer, like us, God. Help us to be salt and light in a world that so desperately needs you. We thank you for Eric. We know that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. God, in my heart, I didn't hate the guy. I mean, I love the guy, and I desire that he would know peace that you give, peace that passes understanding. So would you give that to him? Would you give that to everybody that was there? It's in Jesus' name that we ask this and that we pray. Amen. This is God's way, guys. He runs after the broken things of the world. He runs after the lonely. Won't God leave the 99 to go after the one? The one that's isolated, the one that's separated, the one's by itself. Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6 says it this way: "A father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy dwelling." God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. I'm going to invite the band to come out right now. And here's what I want to leave you with today, what I want to ask you about. If the consistent story that we see over and over and over in the Bible is that God bridges the gap. Are you accepting the bridge? Are you leaning into what he has for you, for us? In the garden, God says, I'm here. In the cloud and the fire, God says, I am here. In the Ark of the Covenant, he says, I'm here. In the temple, I'm here. Jesus, the perfecter of our faith, he says, I am here, and I am here to make a way when there seems to be no way. The Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the I am here. See, people who have this aren't as lonely. They don't put unrealistic expectations on others. They are humble. They're secure and confident, not in themselves, but in God. So I want to go back to our three P's, but let's look at it through God's perspective. It's personal. God is with me. It's personal. God makes it personal that he is with us, that he walks alongside us, that he rescues our foot from the snare. It's pervasive. We are connected to his family. Through all of our lives, we are connected to the family of God, and it is permanent. Nothing can separate us from the power and the love of Christ. In fact, Romans 8, 38 through 39 says it this way, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If God is for us, who can be against us? This is our God, a father to the fatherless, a hope to those that are hopeless, and belonging for those that are lonely. Can you imagine if we begin to do this in VC and Escondido and the surrounding areas? Can you imagine if we do this? If we're an extension of the light of Christ that's been shared with us, the salvation that we found in him. Can you imagine if we begin to love the unlovable and approach the unapproachable and say, hey, there's hope that's found in Christ. I'd love you to come and experience it. And not just experience on Sunday morning here, but experience it in every aspect of our lives. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Our city and the surrounding areas will be transformed and are being transformed by the power of Christ. Let's be those who reflect and overflow that love in a world that so desperately needs it. Because you don't have to be all alone in Christ. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you're a father to the fatherless, that you care for us. God, that you meet us right where we are and you offer us hope and life. Would you, God, help us to be people who know your love? Maybe some of us don't know your love, that we would know it more fully. God, and that you would help us to reflect and overflow that love to a world that so desperately needs it. We thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.